pull up a chair and tell me your memory. Why does it matter to you? I want to hear your story, your point of view. Tell me what happened to you.
Hi, and welcome back to Tell Me What Happened, the podcast that features folks from all walks of life telling us one true childhood story and how that story, how that event, how that experience has impacted who they are as an adult. I'm your host, Jay Rehack, and like you, I've had all kinds of childhood experiences that impacted who I am. But I'd like to think that everything that ever happened to me has made me a better person. I'm not saying that's actually true, but that's what I'd like to think. Today is the first day of season 5 of Tell Me What Happened, and I'm extremely happy to have a good friend of mine, a man I've known for, I'm going to say 20 years, but maybe that's not quite right, David Kovacs. David has been a Chicago-based writer of scripts for videos, films, and plays for more than 40 years. He and his wife, Patty, who I also happen to know quite well, have also been involved in interfaith dialogue and are two of the founders of the Chicago Interfaith Family School. David has always been fascinated by how the media, spirituality, and learning can intersect in ways that intrigue and involve audiences. One of his first script writing positions was in the 1970s with the Emmy-winning children's program, The Magic Door, produced by WBBM-TV and the Chicago Board of Rabbis. In 2019, a documentary he co-produced, Leaps of Faiths, premiered on WTTW and at the Chicago Jewish Film Festival. Available online, the movie explores the joys, challenges, and mysteries of interfaith marriage. Welcome to the show, David Kovacs.
Hey, Jay. It's so nice to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
David, we ran into each other about 2 months ago during a Hanukkah celebration at Old St. Pat's in Chicago. And at the time, I told you about season 5. We're looking for great guests, and you were kind enough to be willing to come on the show. So, David, quick question, and we're going to get on with it. Are you ready to tell your story?
I am. Okay. Well, I had a really very good childhood. There was so much of it that was really a blessing to me and my sister and my mom and dad in so many ways. But I think the telling event in my childhood was due to my father's illness. He had what was called reactive depression in those days, but I'm pretty sure it was bipolar disorder. And around when I was 10, he started to feel some stresses and strains emotionally and mentally. This led to a couple of years of therapy and then a couple of years in and out of the psychiatric institute at the old Michael Reese Hospital. And ultimately, he committed suicide. And it was on my 14th birthday. I'm convinced that he didn't remember that it was my birthday, but it, of course, profoundly affected me. Later, a therapist said, this is my father who jumped off a building. He said maybe he thought he could fly and maybe his whole way of looking at life was just too much for him to bear. And of course, this was in 1966. There were very few medications for what he had. Lithium, he was in a lithium trial. There was electroshock therapy. But his outlook was pretty grim. Today, of course, there's many therapies for bipolar disorder. But I, of course, it was a savage blow for my mother, my sister, and I. But the thing that I most remember about it was going to see his psychiatrist, who said to my sister and I, well, there's two ways you can look at this. One way for the rest of your life. One way is to say, well, everything that challenges me or that defeats me as I grow up is because my father committed suicide. Or you could say, I got through this. I can get through anything. Well, the more I thought about it, the more I chose door number two. And I resolved that I could get through anything. But of course, I'm 14. You know, I don't know what life has in store for me. And it was a big question mark. How will I get through everything? And so that's the impact that that experience had. And I know you're going to ask me how it affected my life as an adult, and that's probably what you want to ask.
It really is. I got to take a minute and get myself together. I've never experienced what you've experienced by any imagination, but I've experienced it close. I've had close relatives and others that have taken their lives, and I struggle with even understanding how anybody can recover and keep going. But I do have to ask you the question, which is my question from the show, which is, how do you think that horrific event impacted who you are today?
Well, I thought about that a lot. And before I get into it, I just want to say to anybody who's had the experience of losing someone to suicide, a friend in their family, my heart is out to you. It is one of the most devastating experiences one can go through. And I hope that you, if it's happened to you, have found strength. So ironically, I went off to college and I came back to Chicago. This is in the 1970s. I was a theater major and I'm coming back to Chicago and I'm doing shows in off-loop theaters and just trying to figure out how I'm going to make it through my 20s in sketch comedy and plays and maybe some writing. And it's a very challenging thing. And I can get through anything. I struggled with that a lot, but I had a lot of great feedback. I met some wonderful people. And I said, this is the life for me. I'm going to figure out how I'm going to do this. So I go ahead and the writing takes the precedence over the acting. And I said, I really want to explore what this writing is. And I get a job with a children's TV show that's produced in Chicago. Now, in the 70s, there was Bozo Circus, there was BJ Dirty Dragon, and there was The Magic Door on Channel 2. Those were the locally produced shows for kids. And The Magic Door was produced by the Board of Rabbis. It was a half-hour puppet show with a little guy named Tiny Tove, which means little good guy, and they shot him down on a chroma key, so he was little, and he could talk to the puppets. And what was amazing about that was I could write a half-hour script, which I got $125 for in those days. Even that wasn't very much. But it was the magic door to my career because the voiceovers over the puppets were people who spent their lives doing industrial films and voiceovers and commercials. And they picked up something in what I was writing that said, do you want to get paid for writing professionally? And they mentored me into the business. And God bless all the mentors out there who have helped people along, because I don't know where I'd be without them. But what was interesting, Jay, is I had grown up Jewish, Reformed Jew. I didn't even get a bar mitzvah because when I was 13, which is traditional bar mitzvah age, my dad was in and out of the hospital. I didn't want to do that. But here comes my Judaism back into this writing for television thing. And I just kind of rode with it. And I said, I'm going to take this as far as it can go. Well, then I meet this wonderful woman, Patty Russ. She was an actress. We met through theater. And Patty is Catholic. And I'm Jewish. And I'm going, okay, I think this is kind of interesting. It may be a little hard. We talked to rabbis who said, don't do it. One rabbi, in fact, said, David, I think Patty probably goes to Mass more than you go to temple. I said, yeah. She said, well, why don't you just raise your kids Catholic? The Jews will be fine without you. And I kind of abandoned him as a spiritual consultant. But Patty got me hooked into this amazing community at Old St. Patrick's Church, which had just been revitalized in the 80s. And she was teaching at the Chicago Academy for the Arts, which rented space from them. And we sat down with Father John Cusick, who said, basically, he said, you're in love, you're in God, I'm in the God business, how can I help you? And we said, well, we're trying to figure this out. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about starting a group of Jewish and Catholic couples. And that became the Jewish Catholic Dialogue Group and the Family School, which you mentioned, you and Susan were, and your daughters were part of it for so many years, became such a big part of our lives. We said, we can get together with other families and we can teach our kids the great traditions of Judaism and Christianity. And we can do it as a Sunday school, and maybe we can make this work. Well, that was 32 years ago. It's been part of our lives ever since, and we're still very happy to be doing it. And you and Susan, your wife, who sings for our services so beautifully, and we've made wonderful friends through this. But here comes religion back into my life, and I didn't imagine that I would enjoy it so much, and it answered the question for me. I can get through this, I can get through anything, because religion has a pediatric dimension of Sunday school and growing up and all that, and it has an adult dimension. And religion is very different as an adult. You kind of go, what do you do when life hits you in the gut? Where do you go? Who do you turn to? What's your community? Where is something, a sense of something larger than what you are? And so I kind of re-encountered religion on an entirely different level. And I've gotten so much out of it that, yes, I think I got through that. I can get through anything. And it's been tremendously rewarding.
Still amazing. Yeah, like I say, I was a part of the family school back in the day. And this is a little bit of a digression, but, you know, you and Patty were definitely inspirational. I know you actually helped create the entire program that you know, I was a part of, but my children were a part of for a long time. And my hard question to you, I've already sort of asked it, but do you think that your faith helped put you through what you went through? Or, I mean, it could also be just you married a wonderful woman, and that could be it too. You know what I'm saying? Was it? Now, I'm not in any way denigrating formal religion, but I probably shouldn't even be asking this question. But you think it was the Judaism, or you think it was Patty Kovacs, or a combination of both, or what do you think?
It's a great question. I think what we've done, and what you and hundreds, literally hundreds of other couples have done, is we've seen the other faith that we didn't grow up with in a new light, and we've relearned the faith that we did grow up with. Definitely, when everything came down on me in my teens, I never thought religion would be a help to any of this. I thought theater would. I thought writing might. I thought maybe television might. That was what I got up and got me going in the morning, is thinking about how can I write the next thing or create the next program or whatever. But I think that having two religions in your life is like speaking two languages or growing up interculturally.
Yes.
You are endlessly challenged, because great religion is a great search for truth and what is bigger than us. And John Cusack gave us the metaphor for it. It's like it's a lens to look at life. And I think I've got two pairs of glasses, you know. I've got my night driving glasses and my day driving glasses and my reading glasses. And sometimes I look at life through a Jewish lens, and sometimes I look at it through a Catholic lens. And I never thought that I would find anything meaningful in that respect. And it's just continued to surprise me.
That's so cool. This is really not about you and not about me, but I just have to interject one point, which was when my wife went to her rabbi, he said, forget it, just don't do it. And we still went through it. But then when we met your group, I say your group because you created it, you helped create it, you were a founder. I was like, oh yeah, there are people out there. You know, it's not just Susan and I against the world type of thing. I mean, I kind of knew that, but there was no actual, I didn't know there was an actual group of cool, I call them cool people, but maybe that's a little bit of a, that's me, it's a judgment call. But anyway, to meet people who are of like mind, who are trying to figure out, how do we raise our children in a way that is ethically responsible and also respectful of each other's religion. When I got married, neither one of us wanted to convert. That was just, you know, I was a little bit too Catholic or whatever it is and shit. Her Judaism was you know, was real and intense. And it's like, no, we're not going to change. We can respect both each other's religion. But it was great to get to family school, because we were struggling with the kids, because That's the hard question usually of right. How are you going to raise the kids?
Right. And I would say to any of your listeners who are interested in what this family school is, go online, check out our website. We were welcoming so many people are marrying interfaith and marrying interculturally. We welcome anybody. You don't have to be Catholic. It's Jewish and Christian. We've even had some people who are totally atheist and agnostic, and they're welcome too. And we just think all religion is interesting. In fact, we made a documentary. You mentioned the documentary that was on Channel 11, Leaps of Faith. And it is confusing because there's Leaps of Faith, which is another, but there's two S's, Leaps and Faiths. And it's online. It's on Amazon. We're going to repost it on YouTube shortly. But this gets into the questions of how do you make it work in a marriage? How do you raise the kids? What does this mean for Judaism? Is Judaism going to survive this? I think Judaism is going to thrive with this because it allows people to honor their partner's religion without asking them to necessarily convert. And it just opens eyes, and the kids love it because there's other kids. And for them to, they grumble about getting up on Sunday morning. They always did. But they love it when they get there. And by the time they're eighth graders, their eyes have been opened and they get it. And they're ready to go out into the world.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, David, and telling us that profoundly sad story that in the end, the resurrection and my...
I'll go there with you.
For lack of... I don't know what the right word is. That may sound a little bit too Christian, but the point is that you thrive, you survive, you made it through. It's amazing. I'm always impressed with strong people. So anyway, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks. Well, that's our show. I'd like to again thank David Kovacs for his profound story. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Sideline Inc. Publishing, publishers of quality books and creator of the new 10x10 Black Hole Chess game. If you're interested, check out blackholechess.com and learn a new way to play the game, because pawn to e4 does not work in my game. All right, until next time, this is Jay Rehak asking you all to please stay safe out there and try not to hurt anybody.